bunch of y'all are going to listen to it and get mad at me. It's going to be awesome. So I guess Janelle came down a while back and taught you guys. Has Rob been here to teach you guys yet too?
Yes.
Okay. So listening to them and knowing Julie's teaching every week, I just want to set your expectations. It's not going to be like that, but we're going to go through this. I read through everything and realized that this is, you know, closer to a devotional than a teaching, but we're gonna try and dive into God's Word today. Julie let me know what verses that we were going to be teaching on, and I'm Blake, by the way. You guys know that, but Julie told me about, it was John chapter 14, 15 through 31, and starting here and going through the next two chapters are probably my favorite verses in the Bible. They are jam-packed with the love of God and what He's done for us and the unification that He's created. And so we're gonna have a good few chapters here, but I get to start it off. So I was pretty excited about teaching this one, and so I appreciate you, Julie, for trusting me with this message today, and we're gonna get into it. So, I do love seeing the community that's being built here, and I love seeing you guys communicating and talking with one another, and I hear about the things that are happening during the week with you guys. So it's an awesome community that God's building here, and I'm honored to be here and be a part of that. So, and I hope everything is going good in everybody's lives, and if it's not, that's okay too, because God is still on the throne. We have one God with all of His glory, and that can never be taken away. And we bow before a King that is greater than whatever we're going through today. So it's a throne we can't see with our physical eyes, but we do know one that we do know is there. One that we see with our spiritual eyes, and it's a throne that we bow before with gratefulness and awe. So this is going to seem like an extreme change of subject, but if you're patient with me and you hear me out, and maybe if I explain myself properly, hopefully you'll see the connection here. Did you guys know that ravens are not black? So I just found this out not very long ago. Ravens actually see each other like this. So there's some oils in their feathers, and they get to see a much broader perspective of themselves, of the color that they have compared to what we can have. So on their vision board there, you know, you can see that they have a little bit higher vision as far as the visual spectrum than we have. So I know that that's a weird segue, but I'm kind of a weird guy, and that's okay. So, but the thing is about ravens is that they look black, and we could all go outside right now and find a blackbird and say collectively and assuredly, there is a blackbird. And all of us would be correct. And if we said anything other than that, that it wasn't black, people would say that we were off our rocker, and they would be justified in saying that. But here's the thing about the ravens with their wider range of vision than we humans have. We're going to learn here in the Word today how God has given us a wider range of vision than the rest of the world is going to have about Him. We're going to have a broader perspective. We have somewhat of a supernatural perspective, and we get to see into a kingdom that this world doesn't even realize exists. It's a gift that God's given to us, and it's just a bit more of the spiritual perception than we had before we accepted Him into our hearts. And so we're going to learn a little bit about that today. So if you want to, if you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse 15. So unless you have the entire book of John memorized, then you don't have to worry about it. But for us average folks, we're going to read it. So this is John chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you a helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. So we get to learn a couple things here. We can see something remarkable in the world. We can see something remarkable that the world cannot perceive. like ravens looking at each other, we have a view of the Father that is far more beautiful and glorious than the limited perspective that the world has of God. We also learn that the Father abides in us. He dwells in us. So God has chosen to make his home in our hearts. And we get the word dwelling from this word dwell. It's a home. It's his home. His home is in us. Look, I can't fathom how or why God would choose us to make his dwelling place in our hearts and in our minds, but we serve a good and a holy God. And there's many aspects of his love that I just cannot wrap my head around, no matter how hard I try. But we have a God who loves us in ways that we cannot comprehend. But that's the mystery of God. That's where faith meets reality, where heaven meets earth, where spirit touches matter. That is the Christ mystery. And somehow, that's who we are. It's who he's made us to be. And we are now the embodiment of Christ because we are how he reveals himself to the world after his resurrection. So Christ has decided to reveal himself through us. And what an awesome responsibility. That's a tremendous responsibility. But it's also quite an honor to be the vessel through which Christ decides to show the world who he is. So how do we, because we know who we are, how do we show the world this great king of ours? Well, Jesus tells us himself right here. He's already told us that we have a wider vision than we did before we knew him. And so let us also have some ears to hear that we didn't have before. So if we keep his commandments, that's what the word says here, if we keep his commandments. So how do we hear his commandments? What are those? What are Jesus' commandments? Well, according to Jesus in the Gospels in Matthew 22, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And second, similar command, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So these two commandments summarize all the law and the prophets. So I do find it interesting in verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, the way that that's worded, it seems to say, like, if we just try hard enough and we muster up enough will, we'll be able to keep the commandments and then we'll love him. But I read this as less of a warning and or a work or sheer determination that we have to put together and more of a statement of fact. So the reason that I say this is because we don't know how to love very well, like we on our own without Jesus, right? But with Jesus, we can love properly. We can love him because he first loved us. So he's the one who shows us what love looks like, how love behaves, what love feels like, what love looks like. We now have the ability to love everyone because he dwells in us. And now we can show the world what that love looks like. We have the ability to love everyone, including our enemies, those who don't look like us or worship like us or behave like us or believe like we do. And now we have an insight into how to love our enemies because we were once enemies with God and he loved us first. So we have the example of how to move in that direction. We know what it feels like to be an enemy to God and him still love us. And we want to extend that same love to the people around us. So that's why we're to love others as ourselves. Those who were created in the image of God, the same as all of us are. So, practically, we feed ourselves whenever we're hungry. We wash our feet whenever we need to be clean. We give ourselves the things that we're in need of. We heal ourselves whenever we're sick by doing what we can to make that better. We cry for ourselves whenever we're grieving. And we give others rest. We give ourselves rest whenever we're weak. And that's how we love others. We show the love of Christ to them through our actions because we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, if we do this to the least of these, we do it unto him. And that's love. And by following Jesus, we'll naturally keep his commandments more, we'll keep his commandments more accidentally than we ever did on purpose. So we're going to continue reading here. Verse 18 through 25. So I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, this world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Kind of like one of those Russian egg things, right? So, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, they made sure to, Judas was like, do not, I'm not Iscariot. This is Jude the apostle's son who says this, not Judas Iscariot. Said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So the wording on that is a little wonky, but he's basically saying everything that I'm saying here is from the Father, not from me. So he says, these things I've spoken while abiding with you. So we learn here that we have something as Christians that wasn't manifested in its fullness before Christ rose again. And that's that God now dwells with us. He makes his home in our hearts. We're made one with Christ, and Christ is one with the Father. And this happens through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whenever the veil was rent from the top to the bottom on the day of the crucifixion, and also whenever Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into his disciples, it says that he's given this to us so that we may be comforted. So we have a comforter, the comforter, the helper who will guide us in all truth and impart unto us joy unspeakable that we hear about later on in Scripture. So in the Old Testament, there were instances where the Spirit would come upon people and they would do certain things for the Lord. It was in a specific time and in a specific place. With Jesus' death and resurrection, he's given that same Holy Spirit of God to all of us freely. So we live in a different dispensation now than what the world knew before. We live in a very privileged and gifted time in the history of Christianity, or the history of God in this world. So in your translations, you might see advocate or counselor. All the translations are correct, but as best we can tell, this kind of means like a really good friend who also happens to be a lawyer who would represent you like in a court of law. But he's also the one that will take on your punishment for you or take the penalty for himself. So it's the helper is a really big, encompassing term and a very loving God. So Jesus begins to reveal here how the union with God happens in verse 20, that we're one with him. And so this is how the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. It's kind of the same vein, like he first loved us, so that we love him. We've first been given this gift, and now we can give it out. It's in the same kind of idea as that. We don't do this on our own. We don't do this first or create something. This is God giving something to us, and then we move it out into the world around us. So then we can give comfort to the world around us. So we now have an opportunity to reveal the kingdom of heaven into this world. We get the incredible privilege of being the hands and feet of Christ. And as such, whenever we reach our hands to someone in need, they should be the hands that have holes in them from the nails that they were pierced with. When we help, it is sacrificial love. And often we surrender our own rights and our own pride. Now, that can be painful. It's not always easy. But, you know, I mean, our flesh fights against these types of things, right? But the Bible says that faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we learn from the Bible what practical applications of love looks like. We move how we see Jesus move in the Bible. And that's why it's so important that we study ourselves to be approved, that we get into the Word for our own, to learn God's Word like we're doing here today. And it's important to spend intimate time with God in His Word as well. And there's a myriad of good and noble reasons that we would want to do this. But one important reason is listed here in this passage. In verse 26 and 27, It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So in verse 26, it talks about bringing to remembrance all the things that Jesus says. So by reading and studying his word, we can equip ourselves properly to respond to the things that are happening into the world around us. And how we respond in such a way that shows the love of Christ and fosters peace. If Jesus left us with peace, it becomes our gift that we give to the world. Because according to scripture here, it's peace that the world doesn't have, but a peace that the world clearly needs. So you see, the peace that the world gives, it's not real peace. It might be a cessation of conflict. People might agree to stop fighting each other. But it's not real peace. The peace that will come to mind for the Hebrews that were listening to this is the Hebrew word shalom, which I'm sure that we're all familiar with. And that's like a wholeness and a completeness that we experience whenever we live according to God's rule and his reign. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it doesn't seem like we're in a very unified time right now. It doesn't feel very peaceful. But, you know, basically all we have to do is say a politician's name or mention football or a certain car model or political affiliation, maybe an aspect of our history, and it can cause division. I mean, we can't even seem to talk about the weather anymore without getting somebody upset with us about it. So, it's the culture wars, man, and they're going to constantly roll on and keep on moving, and we have an opportunity to stay anchored in the word. So, because everything seems to get politicized now or get thrown into the culture wars. And even the thing we hold so dearly, the Bible. So whenever we speak about like the marginalized in communities or the oppressed or the immigrant or the poor or the orphan or the widow, I mean, people want to turn it into a bait. But there's no debate in the word of God about these things. On how to treat the people that we just listed. So the enemy's at work seeking whom he may devour, and he's sowing seeds of division and conflict and turmoil. And our mission now is to counter that with shalom, to show the world a better way, a wholeness that they can't get through political machinations or through sheer brute force or will or whatever. During this time in Israel, there was relative peace. So they were under Roman occupation in Israel whenever this was being written. And Roman occupation was there for the express reason of Pax Romana. So that's the peace of Rome. And so the peace of Rome, Pax Romana, it brought infrastructure and it brought financial gain. And it brought some amazing architecture, some of which still stands today. And it had relative safety with it. But those things also came with a sword and a cross. The rule of law was undeniable and unbreakable, but that rule of law often swept across the land with a cruel and a harsh hand of merciless destruction to anyone that they deemed to be the enemy of the state. The cross was a warning to everyone there that anyone who dared to, that would be your fate if you did anything to disrupt the system. So the shalom peace that God gives to us is a peace which we can be assured that no harm can come to his kingdom, which we are citizens of. There is no greater power than the power of love, and that was the king himself. A king that has chosen to have his dwelling in our hearts, and our souls and our lives are safely in his hands, in the hands of the king. And nobody, not even the ruler of this world, has any stake or any power to even touch us. I know that's bad. Get him. So we can't be harmed. Not the real us. Not the part of us that God holds in his hand. And so that's why I believe it's so important to read the scripture and pray about it before we read it. Before we even take the first look at the word for the day. If we can look at it for ourselves and, you know, don't just listen to me and think that I'm able to give you all the answers. That's fool's errand. Please don't do that. But can pray before we open the Bible. We can pray something like, God, help me to see your will here. Help me to fall into your plan for revealing the kingdom of heaven into this earth. And Lord, help me to lay all of my agendas down before I even open up this book. If we go in wanting to know what God has to say about his word, not what some teacher has said that day, although they line up often, especially with Julie's teaching, but go into the word for yourself and pray about it and have that intimate time with God. So I can't tell you how many times knowing God's word has benefited me and the people around me in difficult situations. Sometimes it's as simple as like how much gas I can afford to put in my car that day. And sometimes it's hard, something that's hard or difficult is somebody losing a, you know, like a brother that died or a family member. Sometimes whenever I'm at the gas pump, God reminds me of a verse in Proverbs, you know, poverty and shame will come to those who neglect discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. And sometimes it's, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians. When speaking with somebody who just lost a loved one, God will move my heart often to quote 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who sleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest of those who have no hope. And then sometimes God simply wants me to put my arm around somebody's shoulder and be silent and listen. I was officiating a memorial for Lindy last year, and I told them something that Rob always says at funerals, and it's that we don't grieve as those who have no hope. And so I told everybody, I was like, my wise friend always says, you know, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. And then afterwards, Rob came up to me and he was like, yeah, I didn't quote that, man. That's the Bible. So that's another reason to know the Bible, so that you're not doing stupid things like me. So, but it does depend on the situation and what God wants me to do at the time whenever I'm in these situations. You know, I read the word and then I've got all these verses rattling around up here. And it's good to become familiar with them because they can help ourselves and our brothers and sisters around us. And I've relied on this verse here that we're reading today so many times, that the Holy Spirit will bring words to my remembrance. Also in Luke, it says that the Holy Spirit will give you the words at the right time. And this often happens whenever I'm concerned about a conversation I'm about to have or a big decision that I need to make. Paul went before the Roman courts and God gave him the words that he needed to say at the time. Other times, Paul stayed silent. God moves in every situation differently, and as long as we're open to prayer about it and just have that there, it'll be a good thing. So I see reading his word in this situation kind of like tending a garden for a while. If you've been tending a garden for a bit and you need a tomato or a head of lettuce, you can go out to the garden and get what you need and you can eat it. If you haven't been tending the garden so much, it might not be a lot there to eat. It might be some weeds that you have to dig through to get to it. But and don't take this as works, like I need to memorize a certain amount of verses every day so that God can use me or anything like that. There's grace for that. There's grace for all of that, all of this, and God's going to supply us with the needs that we have. But whenever it comes to tending the garden by staying in the Word, these verses will come to us more easily whenever we're in these difficult situations, whenever we need them. The Holy Spirit will remind us of the Word whenever the situation arises. Whatever it may be, he'll give us words of encouragement to say to someone who needs to be uplifted, words of wisdom to give to somebody whenever they have a difficult decision before them, words of comfort to someone who's grieving, and words of peace to someone who's just overwhelmed with life. We can have certain Bible verses that'll come up in mind. We don't even need to quote them, but we can know what they say and help our friends and brothers and sisters out as they're going along and making these decisions. So. And again, sometimes he just simply moves us to silence and to just listen. But whenever we find ourselves in any situation, we are allowed to pause. We can pray and ask God to give us remembrance of his word and for the Holy Spirit to give you the words that are needed during that time. We get in situations sometimes where people are talking and we feel like that we need to respond right away or give a quick answer. We don't have to. We can stop for just a moment and pray. And God's faithful to give us what we need at the time. And I think that you'll find that you'll be amazed that you can remember what you don't remember. You know, you can read through chapters over weeks time, and you could, you know, if I asked you what verse 15 was, you might not be able to tell me. I know I couldn't tell you, but God will bring to our remembrance the words that He said. So, and oftentimes the Holy Spirit will guide me to do so. So, and that's whenever I know that Christ is moving through me, because God knows I'm not smart enough or caring enough to do that by my own will. I got too much hot sauce clogged up in my brain from being Cajun. So, but God brings the things that I need to remember. So, we're going to continue on here. So, you've heard it said that I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, I've told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, and I do exactly as the Father commanded me. So, we learn here that if we want to know what our Father's will is, that we need to look to Jesus. And if we want to understand the Father's heart toward us, we look to Jesus. And if we want to know the Father's how the Father wants us to move in this world, we look to Jesus. In Hebrews 1 and 3, it says, "In His radiance of His, and He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power." And how can we look at Jesus? So we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us through reading the Word, and we ask Him to reveal to us Christ's movement in the world around us. So Jesus made the greatest sacrifice in order to make a way for the Holy Spirit to come and reside with us, and He has kicked open the kingdom, kicked open the doors to the kingdom to give all of us full access to know His love for us. He's done this for the whole world. And this is something that only Jesus can do. And the reason why is because He holds all of the power. The only true power this world has ever known, the one true King of all existence, is the only one with power. And the power of love is the only power that can defeat the grave. It's a love so strong that it reaches across the abyss of death to reconcile us to Himself. There's no greater love than that. So the last words of these verses in our message today are really powerful to me, and it's going to be some words that I'm going to remember and hold on to for a while. It says, "Get up, let us go from here." So my translation says, "Rise, let's go from here." All the translations are correct, but I like that interpretation. But it says, so this is a call to action in my heart. In the coming weeks, through the next few chapters, like we were talking about, Julie's going to be teaching you a lot more about the unity that we have in Christ and how we're already citizens of the kingdom of heaven through Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection. And there's far more to reflecting the kingdom of heaven into this world than just meeting on a Sunday or memorizing scripture or anything like that. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And like my dear sister Julie taught last week, concerning the greater works that we will do, the Holy Spirit now moves in us and through us to show what the love of Christ looks like to a world that so desperately needs love right now. So let's rise up from here. Let's go and give the gift that we've been given at such a great price to the people that we come in contact with every day. So Jesus has left us with a parting gift. We are not alone. You are not alone. You are loved by God. So let's take this invitation to rise up and to go from here and give away what we've been given and change the world. Let's see what God is up to with our spiritual eyes and in the expanded vision that He's given us. And there's no telling what wonderful things God has in store for us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you guys. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you in the ways that you instruct us. And I want to thank you that you've given this to us. Jesus, I want to thank you that you are the word. I want to thank you that you show us who you are and you reveal yourself to us through things like wind blowing in the trees and a mother giving a gift to her kid on Christmas, God. You're a big and a holy God. I ask you that you help us to recognize that we're in your kingdom and that we're revealing your kingdom to the world around us. Help us to do that in good and holy ways, Jesus. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate all you guys.
Thank you.
We're good. Oh,
we're done?
We're done. Okay, go get something to eat and get some coffee.
Thank you, Blake. Wonderful message. Thank you. Wonderful message.
Appreciate you saying so.
See.
That's you, Nessa. Oh.